President Trump just blew up American politics, and some elected officials might face real consequences.
Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage.
Put him in our country, I'll be honest with you. And somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care.
President Trump again takes aim at the Somali community as the flurry of federal investigations focused on Minnesota is expanding.
I mean, I have no worry. I don't know how they take away my citizenship and, like, deport me. But I don't even know, like, why that's like,
just
a,
people who committed a crime.
Threat. Like, I'm not the 8-year-old who escaped war anymore. I'm grown. My kids are grown. Like, I can go live wherever I want.
But here's what the president actually said about Representative Omar and Governor Walz.
And who should?
Tim Walz over the fraud scandal in the state.
Look, I think the man's a grossly incompetent man. I thought that from the day I watched J.D. destroy him in a debate. I think that Walz is a grossly incompetent man. There's something wrong with him. And when I see somebody like Ilhan Omar, who I don't know at all, but I always watch her for years. I've watched her complain about our Constitution, how she's being treated badly. Our Constitution, the United States of America, is a bad place. Hates everybody, hates Jewish people, hates everybody. And I think she's an incompetent person. She's a real terrible person. But when I watch what is happening in Minnesota, and I see these people ripping it off, and now I'm understanding, and you're going to look at that, Scott. I hear they ripped off Somalians, ripped off that state for billions of dollars, billions, every year, billions of dollars.
Ooh.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country.
Now, he's not talking about everybody from Somalia. He's talking about people who've come to America, live here, receive benefits from the country, and say that it's the worst place in the world. He's not talking about the majority of Somalis who live in the United States and love it here and are proud to be Americans.
Politically correct, I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country's no good for a reason. Their country stinks, and we don't want them in our country. I could say that about other countries, too.
Wow.
I can say it about other countries, too. We don't want them. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it.
It's true.
We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country.
Here's that line.
Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain.
This is the context. People said that Trump came out and attacked an entire community. That's not true, but he did have strong words to say about people who live in America while hating on it.
They complained, and from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise, and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it.
So he's got a point. If you're going to live somewhere and you become a naturalized citizen, do you really have the right to say that it's the worst place ever? But the president's already being taken out of context.
I just heard the president say that he doesn't want Somalis.
That's not true. He didn't say all Somalis. He just said the people who complained.
He's wrong, and we want them here. Somali people have been an extraordinary benefit. I'll say it again. Somali people have been a benefit to our city.
Everyone who loves America is a benefit to America.
Our city. They have started businesses and created jobs. They have added to the cultural fabric of what Minneapolis
is. No one's denying this.
They were welcoming to me when I first came out to Minneapolis. In fact, they were one of the first groups that I myself got to know. To again villainize an entire group
that's
is ridiculous under any circumstances. The perpetrators of any form of crime should be held accountable in the United States, regardless of what ethnicity, religion, or background you come from. Period.
unless, according to these sanctuary leaders, that person broke immigration law. Then they should be let off the hook. And the police chief says the city is going to fight back.
They may be kidnapping people. Like, we have had those reports.
He says ICE is kidnapping people.
To the community. The community should know that if you see something like that, that is legitimate, that you don't know if someone is law enforcement, you should call 911. And you should provide as much information as possible, because let's not forget, we very recently had tragedy in this state by someone who was purporting to be law enforcement. So please, let's be clear. That's something everyone should report, and that we will immediately respond to, and we will document, whether it's somebody's not sure if there's a kidnapping happening, somebody's not sure if that there's law enforcement present or not. And that's something else that's additional policy requirements that we are implementing, that we will document and report these types of things anytime that we hear it, and reminding our officers of their duty to intervene. So
intervene.
If there is anything that is a violation of someone's human rights or civil rights, excessive force or anything like that.
Excessive force. So do you hear that? If people call the police on federal agents who are doing their job enforcing immigration law in Minneapolis, and they say that ICE violated someone's human rights, the police chief says his sanctuary force has a mandate to intervene. This is bad news. And apparently ICE may have a lot of work to do in Minnesota.
You told me to look into Minnesota and their fraud on visas and their programs. 50% of them are fraudulent.
Wow.
Which means that wacko Governor Walz either is an idiot or he did it on purpose. And I think he's both, sir. He brought people in there illegally that never should have been in this country, said they were somebody that they're not. They said they were married to somebody who was their brother or somebody else. Fraudulent visa applications, signed up for government programs, took hundreds of billions of dollars from the taxpayers.
That's crazy.
And we're going to remove them, and we're going to get our money back. And we're going to, this next year, make sure that we only put people in leadership positions in this country that love this country and have its back. So thank you for...
So she says 50% of the people using visas in Minnesota did so fraudulently. And she's not talking about one specific group of people. She says illegal immigrants as a whole are part of a visa fraud scheme in this state. But like the president said, you've also got people who are here and are not supposed to be here who are collecting benefits from the government. And that's something that many people are upset about.
The idea for the American dream or the American, you work hard, you do your own thing, you get ahead that
right.
way. Yep. And so we have this fundamental reaction to stories like this where people are basically stealing. I mean, the fact that it might have been funneled to terrorism just adds another layer to
this. Yeah, some of the money went
layer to, everything
to a dangerous group, allegedly.
But it's a symptom of what I think a lot of people have come to just expect. The bigger government gets, the more people have their hand out. And was anybody really surprised by this? When the news came out, it was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, that sounds, I mean, it's horrible. It's not great, but
I don't know if it's a surprise part. I think, will there be accountability part?
That's a good question.
People have gotten to the point where we just expect it because there never is accountability.
Right. Yeah. No one's ever in trouble for this.
They're stealing from the government all the time. And when we hear about it, maybe once in a while somebody gets fired or, they have to go on vacation for a couple weeks. You never hear somebody going to jail for it.
Right. Nobody gets in trouble.
And it gets back to the idea of the uniparty. Everybody's protecting their own because everybody's using the government as some kind of payoff.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay off a constituency. We have to pay off somebody over here. And everybody wants to do it. So we just use the government piggy bank to just channel funds wherever.
Right.
There's never accountability because it's too convenient.
It is.
Tom, what do you think?
Well, here's what I think. First of all, if you think that the fraud in Minnesota is big numbers that are kind of eye-watering.
$1 billion.
Just wait till you see the same sort of visa fraud, SNAP fraud, and Medicare fraud, and welfare fraud that's in California. It will make the numbers in Minnesota look like a child's allowance.
And that's the heart of the matter here. If people are in the country without permission and they're collecting government benefits, that is essentially stealing because they're not supposed to be here and they're not entitled to those benefits. And if you have other fraud schemes, like businesses that say they're helping people who are in need or who are sick or they're feeding people and they're not actually doing any of that stuff and they're collecting government money and then doing something else with it, this could be happening all over the country.
We're still trying to figure out what the COVID fraud was. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers for that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's where you start. So in Minnesota, there's two sides to it that I see. Side number one, Democrats try to get what they believe is good use of government funds to give welfare to these people, voting blocks. So they feel they're giving it to voting blocks. Now, there's half of the Dems that then turn a blind eye because they know exactly what's going. It's remittances. Mm. When you just see remittances is a code word for exported money.
Yeah.
When you see sending that, it out of the country. How much did the Somali community go to banks that we can track transactions, Pat, and send money overseas? Remittances. It goes to Al-Shabaab. You can also wow. see, if you study, what are the size of remittances. You know what we could do, Rob? Just real quick, go ask for how big are the remittances annually from California to Mexico. So that'll give you, so you can
the
look
size
at these
of small countries.
You can look at these two numbers side yeah, by side, and not all those remittances going from California to Mexico are frauds.
Right.
Some people have jobs and are trying to send money home to their mom and dad.
And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with somebody who's in America legally doing whatever they want with their money if they're here legally and they earn it legally. Nobody's talking about that. This is all focused on fraud, and it looks like fraud might be the big issue rolling into the new year in this country.
Who's going to get arrested for this stuff? Who's going to get prosecuted this stuff? And right now, first you have to stop it. But you have one side of the Dems that allows it to keep going because they see it as a welfare program. They know the cheating is going on, and they just see it as means of people that are, you know, getting money to live.
But if people are cheating the system, that can't be allowed. That's disenfranchising people who are here legally and need access to that system and don't have it because the money was sent to somebody else.
Rob, you had one of the charts that you had up a minute ago, which was phenomenal, showing who's getting entitlement benefits. Check this out. This is family receiving
wow.
welfare. So purple is illegal-headed households. Red is legal immigrants. Blue is U.S.-born-headed
That's
households.
That's crazy.
The people we want to give the welfare to,
the people you
citizens.
Want to give it to. And when you look at this, cash, go with a food. Look at what food looks like.
This is so crazy. So if the head of household in a U.S. family was born in the country, 39% of those folks are receiving any type of welfare at some point. But look at this, it's 59% if the head of household is in the country illegally. How is that even possible? What kind of system is that? That doesn't seem right at all, and that represents theft.
People see numbers like this, they're like, what am I doing with my taxes?
Right.
Why am I paying taxes? To support who?
You should pay your taxes, but what's it for?
I ran a poll the other day, Rob, if you want to go to this poll, just to see what the audience was going to say. Is it going to be, look at this poll here. Should illegal immigrants get SNAP, Medicaid, and welfare that U.S. taxpayers fund? Look at the percentage. It's not even like, people, you should read the comments.
I mean, how is fraud not a winning issue for the people who want to get rid of it? And what do you think this does to affordability in America? If you have a problem with affordability in this country, which we all do, it's the cost to live here have gone through the roof. Well, this might be part of the reason why we're paying for people who aren't supposed to be here to go to the grocery store and buy things, to have an apartment that they live in, to pay their rent. And that can only happen at the expense of people that do have a legal right to be here. It's a sad situation, and I can't believe it's taken this long for anybody to say anything about it.
I just want to pick up on something you said, Mr. President, because you hit the nail on the head, that it is absurd that Democrats talk about an affordability crisis that they created
right.
and the people around this table work every single day to address. You'll hear a lot of statistics today. You hear a lot of statistics in our political conversation. I think the most important statistic for the American people is that under the Biden administration, the average American family lost over $3,000 of household income.
I wonder why that is.
And under the first 10 months of this Trump administration, they have gained over $1,000 of household income. What that says very clearly is that we are fixing the problem that Joe Biden and the Democrats created in the last administration. If you look at every affordability crisis that's confronting the American people today, it is traceable directly to a problem caused by Joe Biden and congressional Democrats.
Right.
Why did homes get so unaffordable? Because we had 20 million illegal aliens in this country taking homes that ought by right to go to American citizens.
That's something that nobody mentioned. You have a large number of people who came into the country in a very short period of time, and they weren't homeless. They all had to live somewhere. Thankfully, they did live somewhere, but that couldn't happen without cost to people that live here and have to buy their own homes and pay their own way.
Why did tax bills get so unaffordable? Because Democrats were raising taxes, yep, while congressional Republicans under the president's leadership were now cutting taxes. Why did food get so expensive? Because we printed trillions of dollars and threw it into green scams that made our agricultural economy suffer while Americans were paying higher prices for food. On every single one of those issues, Mr. President, I think we've made incredible progress. But it would be preposterous.
At the same time, if you have massive numbers of people who are getting nutrition assistance and getting government money to shop at grocery stores, those grocery stores aren't going to experience any lack of business. In fact, they're going to see, wow, we got all these customers coming into the store. Everybody can afford everything. We don't have to lower our prices. We don't have anything sitting on the shelves because everybody here can afford everything. The more people you have on nutrition assistance, the easier it is for grocery stores to sell out of everything on the shelf. And again, there's nothing wrong with Americans and legal residents who are here who need help getting that help. But if somebody is here illegally and they are improperly benefiting from that type of system, that is just going to raise costs for people who are trying to pay their own way.
Every problem caused over the last 4 years in just 10 months, I think that we've done incredibly good. But what I see over the next year, and you heard Brooke talk about joy and gratitude. What I really think this season represents for me, and I think for the entire administration, is that we have now done incredible work to fix what Joe Biden broke. And I think the next year in American growth and American prosperity could be the best year that we've had in the United States of America.
That would be great.
It's going to happen because we're all working hard. It's going to happen because we have the greatest country in the world. But I think for congressional Democrats in particular, if they want to talk about affordability, they ought to look in the mirror. We are fixing what they're broken. We're proud to do it. It's the job that we were elected to do. But I think 2026 is going to be the year where this economy really takes off.
I hope he's right. And now the question is, what policy can anybody who's a Democrat say, hey, we've got this policy and it has made things cheaper for everybody? They don't have one. They want gas to cost more money. They want as many people as possible on housing assistance and on all of these programs that raise the price floor on goods because you have a baseline that everybody can afford. What that does is that really straps the middle class. If you've got people who are out there trying to do things themselves and pay their own way and things just get more and more expensive, eventually those people too are going to be on some sort of assistance program. And you know something? There's a guy who used to be on the radio, a guy called Rush Limbaugh many years ago, who talked about this. He said that the goal was to create a permanent underclass in American society, because if you have people who need housing assistance and rent assistance, they can only vote one direction. And if you expand that group of people to include more and more of the middle class, that's how you get a voting supermajority that has to vote for other people's money because life has been made completely unaffordable for them without it. What do you think about that? Thank you so much for watching. What do you think about all this fraud in Minnesota? What should happen to elected officials who committed it? Let me know. See you in the next video.